And welcome back once again for the 219th installment of the Parish of the Patriots. I'm glad you're here. Whatever's brought you here, whether you're a brand new listener or a return member of the congregation, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we're together. Once again, I'm recording the show on Saturday, which is the norm. I normally record on Saturdays, sometimes Sundays, but I usually record over the weekend. Show goes up on Tuesday. By the time this show airs, we'll have a better idea of the outcome of Sven's situation. Of course, we're hoping for a somewhat positive outcome here. I do want to say at the beginning there, though, that regardless, I plan for the show to be back here next week. Worst case scenario, whatever, I plan for the show to be back here next week. I can't make any promises to sound quality and whatnot. Y'all just going to bear with that. It's kind of getting what you get. Is if you know, he does so much of this work and I'm going to be fumbling through it, you know, as far as the sound quality and getting it put up on the site and whatnot. So bear with us, you know, bear with us. I know Dr. Johnson plans to continue putting his show up, and my understanding is, in worst case scenario, that's going to be basically what's on Radio Albion is Matt's show as well as my own. So, you know, bear with us and please keep coming back. We're going to do the best we can regardless, but. Like I say, I'm not going to say you're not going to notice any difference, because obviously you are. Sven has put an enormous amount of work into this thing. And then even, like I say, like my shows, gets everything kind of, you know, really top-notch quality and puts things together. And he always handles this stuff. So the technical quality isn't quite what you're used to. It's just the way we roll. We do pass around the plate at the beginning of the show. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. I like to say that. You know, we don't drag on about it, but it is much appreciated. If you want to be a part of that, go to the bottom of the description page for the show here on Radio Albion. You see, I got snail mail down there. It doesn't get any easier than that. Got Bitcoin. Got Monero address. Email to drop your notes. And if you do have a weirdo cryptocurrency that, you know, besides Bitcoin and Monero, which Monero is pretty weird. But if you got another cryptocurrency, drop me a note. I can more than likely get you an address for that. It wouldn't be a problem. And I'm not picky. I will take your shit coins. So let's without further ado, that always marks the point where we go into the listener supporter mailbag, GPD. I hope to hear more sermons on the Zionist MCC. Keep up the work. That's from Triangle Whip. And no problem. We bash the MCC to death. If you knew, you're like, MCC, what's that mean? You got to tune in, because we do. If you are new, and I forgot to mention, if you're new, we do have a Christian-specific segment. That's pretty much, honestly, the highlight of the show. It's roughly the halfway point. So, you know, listen to the whole thing. We have fun. We have fun and interesting discussions. The Christian-specific segment, that's the thing, I think, the meat of the show that you're going to want to stick around for. So, and yes, we will be discussing the MCC. That is guarantee. Support received from Tony. Very much appreciated, Tony. No note in there, but did want to let you know. It did arrive. Grandpa Dan, to quote another good parishioner, here's some more dough for the show. Thank you, Grandpa Dan, for the show, for addressing my inquiries in a thoughtful manner, and for all of us listening live or on the upload. It means more to us than you think. And that's from Jay, and I thank you very much. And speaking of dough the show, dude, I haven't seen dough the show, bro, this week's deal. Hope everything's okay. It's probably just the post office doing post office things, but no, it means a lot. And this is be our last one for this week, our listener support of mailbag. It does. It means a whole lot. And like I said, we're going to keep going along. We'll make this work one way or the other. I always appreciate y'all coming back week in, week out. I hope that we slowly and surely get new people. I always like to imagine, like, somebody hears by this show, like, in a negative manner, you know, and they're like, you know, it's some sort of crazy right-wing white supremacist hate thing. And they think to themselves, hey, I'm going to listen to that. I'm going to check out what kind of evil they're discussing. They tune into the show and they're like, that's it. I was expecting a little more hatey hate. I'm a little disappointed in your level of hatey hate. You know, sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Not sorry to disappoint. And who knows? I always think maybe those people will be like, at the end of it, they'll be like, well, you know, that was actually pretty good. I might check. Maybe he just like, was fronting this week. Maybe the extreme Haiti hate's coming next week. And they come next week. But soon, pretty soon, they all hooked on it. Pretty soon, they dropping a little something in the plate. God, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Talking about extreme things, and I always have a hard time because I talk to people and I, you know, go back and forth with different people all through the week, and I sit here and I get things in my head, and I'm like, I'm going to talk about this on the show, and then when it comes time, I'm like, did I talk about this on the show? Bear with me. With the narratives, where there's a shooting up here in Texas, as you know, last week. But now, you know, like I said, I'm doing this on Saturday, so I get screwed up when I start talking about things like last week. But you know what I'm talking about. It wasn't that far, you know. I mean, it was not like across the street, but, you know, it was in more or less, you could consider, my neck of the woods. And at the shooting. And it's always one of the things that's interesting. You know, I don't mean that in any kind of a cold manner. But one of the things that's interesting to observe about these things is the way the media deals with it. And, you know, and I have to say again, and I'm not trying to come off like, you know, I don't care. Like, you know, it doesn't, you know, people getting hurt and killed, like that don't matter to me. But I'm honest, you know, it's a tragedy and it shouldn't be happening and whatnot. But I really find it off-putting. I've said this before. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it again. Y'all tired of hearing it, but I'm going to say it again. I don't like it when people go around and use tragedies like this for virtue signaling, you know, because they do, you know, leftist shit libs aren't the only ones that do virtue signaling, you know, and people are like, my heart is broken. No, it's not. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm mourning for these people. I didn't know them. I'm not saying it's not sad. I'm saying it's not sad for me personally. And people had attacked me for this before. And they're like, oh, see, you think it's no big deal. You just don't care. I'm just truthful. People go around and write comments on the internet about people they don't know and saying they just find it heartbreaking. No, you don't. And I always find that insulting. And I know y'all are long listeners of the show. Y'all tired of hearing me say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, again. But really, it's insulting to the people who really lose somebody. You know, don't sit there and talk about you ain't never met these people you talk about. Oh, I'm just so heartbroken, like it's about you. You know, if your kid or your sister or your mother or your brother or your daddy were one of the ones killed in one of these things, it's heartbreaking for you. It ain't heartbreaking for some asshole on the internet that ain't never met none of these people. They're now trying to act like, see what a good person I am. I'm talking about how I'm heartbroken about it. That's what I'm talking about. And, you know, talking about that, it's like you just night and day coverage of it from the media. The local media has been covering it, you know, pretty straight up for the most part. And their focus has been on, you know, the victims, you know. And even in that, you see an example of what I'm talking about. I seen on local news stories the other day, and they're standing in front of, you know, one of these makeshift memorials that gets put up. You know, whenever something like this happens and people come out and they put up crosses and flowers and there's teddy bears for the dead kids and all of this. And I'm watching the local news report the other day about this, and they're talking about, you know, and the community is coming together. The reporter there says the community is coming together, the makeshift memorial to grieve and to try to deal with this as a community. The people are coming together. And why he's making the report, standing in front of, and this kind of highlights my point. He's standing in front of the makeshift memorial, talking about how everybody's coming together to grieve together as a community. This loss we all feel as a community. There's people back there standing up there taking selfies in front of the damn memorial. See, that's what I'm talking about. You know, that you don't sit there and talk about you grieving as a community. You didn't know these people. It pisses all over the grief that those who did lose somebody are feeling. Grieving is a community. Some guy back there taking a selfie and taking pictures so he can put it on social media. Look, I was here. Peace sign. But the local news, I mean, that's been the focus of the local news, and it's been more or less okay. You know, I mean, the network news was interesting. The network news was interesting. By Monday, and I keep saying, you know, by Monday after the shooting, you watch the local news. And they had the guy's name, and I don't remember. I think he was something other Garcia. From what I understood, his mom and daddy don't even speak no English. And no, I'm not making this some racial thing about, you know, see, the problem is brown people. That's not the point I'm making at all. But his name was something like Garcia, I think. If not, if it was something else, I apologize to all the Garcias out there. I'm not picking on you, but I think that was his name. Obviously, the point is, he had a, shall we say, Hispanic name. And like I say, my understanding is mom and daddy don't even speak English. You know, I think the police, when they talked to him, I read somewhere the police had to use a translator. I may be wrong on that. Don't hold me to it. But obviously, you get the point. But the local news had more or less covered these things, you know, in passing. They said this was the guy's name. And then the local news finishes in the morning, because I always subject myself to 90 seconds. Your world in 90 seconds. I subject myself to 90 seconds of the narrative every morning. That's all I can take, too. About 90 seconds of it. But I do want to see what they're framing up for the narrative. Once again, these things, I can't stand it when people act like they're heartbroken over something they don't. That's why I can't stand media people. I could never be one of these media people, you know, because they put on the fake face. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, what's our story going to be? Oh, we're going to do this shooting. Okay. We're opening in 3, 2, 1, action. And they put on there, I'm so sad. This is so solemn. I'm shaking my head. I can't believe we're having to talk about this once again in America. And then if the next story after that is about some Hollywood person getting an award, they're like, we got a great, then they put the smiley face on because they fake, they phony. People like that, I always have to imagine in real life, like you would never know, like, what do they really feel? Like if they were a member of your family and you get together at the family and they look at you and smile and it's like, it's so good to see you again. You'd be wondering if like 2 minutes later, they're telling somebody like, I can't believe that asshole had the nerve to show up here, you know, because they fake. How do you trust people that can do like that? Put on like a smile. Look at the smile. I'm smiling. I really care about you. Anyway, so network news comes on. This is Monday. Network news comes on. This shooting happened over the weekend. Monday, network news comes on. Of course, this is the lead off story. They got a guy on the ground. They go through this whole story. I kid you not. They go through this entire story. Now, I just watched the local news, so it's not like they didn't have access to the information. Local news was law enforcement looking for a motive, and this guy's name was something, another Garcia or whatever. Go to network news. They go through this entire story. They never, ever, once mentioned the guy's name. But they do wrap up the story with anonymous sources from the FBI tell us they believe he has a connection to white supremacy and extreme right wing views. And leave it at that. Went on to the next story. Now, if you're a moron, and you would have to be a moron to get your information from the network news and like actually believe anything they say, I find it hard to believe there are people that are such a low NPC level of life, of thinking, that they actually do that. But if you did, you would come off from that and be like, well, they didn't tell us anything about the guy, but obviously he was a white dude. Probably one of them crazy white guys. Day 2, Tuesday, rolls around. Maybe you try to explain it off. You're like, well, maybe they just, you know, they didn't talk to their affiliate in the local area and they didn't get the information in time. Tuesday rolls around. Network news comes on. And once again, they go through this entire story. Don't mention his name and punctuate it with right-wing, white supremacist, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Wednesday rolls around and the story's gone. Poof. Just like that. It's not going to ever happen. For 2 days, we see these talking heads on TV with their solemn face on, going like they're fixing to break into tears because they're so upset that people died. Then Wednesday, Trump was lost a lawsuit from some woman with no evidence saying that, you know, 30 something years ago, he raped her in a changing room in some Dillard's or some shit. Now they got the happy face on. The story vaporized. after Wednesday, the story is, you know, was no more. Now, the local news was still doing, you know, community grieving together and taking selfies in front of the memorial, but the network news just dropped the story, went on to the next thing. Now, again, if you were a low-tier NPC and watching this, you would have had Monday and Tuesday to get it soaked into your head. This guy was some kind of crazy white guy who was a white supremacist. Now, of course, we've never had white supremacists defined for us. We don't know what that actually means. So maybe it's not completely absurd that we had a Mexican white supremacist. It seems pretty absurd to me, because you would think that the word white would imply that you're supposed to be white. But, I mean, we don't know that. In all fairness, we don't know that because nobody's ever told us that. All these terms, white supremacists, they have no meaning. They're just name calling. Anybody the left doesn't like is a white supremacist, racist, extreme neo-Nazi, blah, 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 blah. Like I said earlier on, I always get this tickled imagination that one of these people, like, you know, just like an NPC of all of that, you know, and they hear that, maybe they come and check this show out. Because I'm going to see what kind of white supremacy they're promoting there. And they listen to the show and be like, does not compute, you know, got an error 503 or some shit. I don't know. Everything gets turned into theater. Yeah, and I don't know. You know, people, I don't know. I don't know what all of this stuff. And then you start seeing stuff that don't make any sense. And people jump all the way ahead and there was no real shooting and there were crisis actors. And it's like there's never any room for nuance in there, you know? Like, maybe things more or less happened a certain way, but like from what we just talked about, you know, the media is going to spin it the way they want it to. In other words, they're going to lie to you. Okay. If they leave out things they know to get you to think of things in a certain direction, that's the same as lying to you. Oh, it is. It's the same as lying to you, but it's lying by omission. They're still lying to you when they don't tell you the guy's name because it's obvious from his name that he's not white, but they do this whole anonymous sources at the FBI. And when you hear, anytime you hear the media say anonymous sources, you just have to assume they made it up, but maybe they didn't, you know, from that already, you know, they're lying to you. You don't have to go to, there wasn't actually a shooting and there were crisis actors, but that's what leads to that. People always point to these extreme side of things. And they're saying there wasn't anybody actually shot and whatnot. And it starts, you know, see how crazy. See, you're one of those people. No, you already know the media is lying to you. Now, you just wonder how far on the scale that you're at. What, in other words, if they're lying about this, which they've caught, we've just already discussed, red-handed lying. If they're lying about this, what else are they lying about? What else are they not telling us? What else is going on here? Did somebody groom this guy to do this? Are we ever going to actually hear the outcome? One of the most amazing examples of this is that Las Vegas shooting. This closed the case. And they're like, well, we don't know why he did it. We also don't know how he was shooting out of two windows at the same time and just so happened to have killed himself by the time we got up there. We're not really sure how he drug all of this huge amount of weapons up there. And nobody noticed how he knocked out these stormproof windows somehow. And all of the rest of it, how we had eyewitnesses claiming there were shots coming from two places at once. We can't figure any of that out. Case closed. I don't know. One thing for sure is people are going crazy. There are a lot more crazy people. I have all kinds of different theories. And that's all you can do, because nobody will ever look into it. I said this, I believe, last week. If not, it was the week before. You know, I look at the autism thing. Why do we have all these autistic people now? You know, and it's not like a made-up diagnosis. I mean, we have autistic people now, no doubt about it. But I'm getting old. And I remember when we didn't. So something's causing it. You would think they spend millions of dollars to do a study on the migration habit of crickets. You would think they might want to spend some money to find out why we have these autistic people. You know, you got what this Kennedy guy running for president. And he says it's the vaccines. And the media is like, pussy, crazy conspiracy theory. Well, yeah, it is. It is a conspiracy theory. You are right about that. But that's all we got to go on, because nobody seems interested in actually finding out. I was looking into this, and, you know, how do they explain this? And one of the reasons they explain this, and I can tell you right now, somebody's been around long enough to know and witness these things myself, they're lying. One of their things is, well, it's not that we have more autistic people, you see, it's just that now we're better at diagnosing it. don't believe your lying eyes, that we used to not have these, all these autistic people, and now we do. And I'm not downing on autistic people. That just, you know, that's just how they are. I mean, you know, they're just like, if you're right-handed, left-handed, they can't help it. That's just who they are. I'm not, you know, dissing on autistic people. But they say, oh, it's always, it's just that now we're better at diagnosing them. That's why it seems like, it just seems like we have more autistic people. It's a conspiracy theory that vaccines cause it. You're right. It is. We don't know that because nobody will look into it. Nobody look into it. Nobody study it. Why do we got all this going on? We used to not have all this going on. Seems like we ought to. Seems like we ought to. It amazes. Everything is theater in this country. Everything is just theater. They doing this debt ceiling theater. I've seen this so many damn times. So many times. Yeah, the debt ceiling. Debt ceiling. Gonna raise the debt ceiling, or they're not gonna raise it. Is the government gonna default? Look, folks, if you're young, you may think this is a big deal. It's not. It's theater. They've done this in my lifetime multiple times. I've seen this. The sky is falling. Trust me. The last minute Team R is going to make a deal, which will essentially give Team D everything they want. Surprise, surprise. And we'll just, they're going to keep spending money. There's one thing they're going to do. I can guarantee you now, I'm a little bit psychic. I'm having a psychic moment. They're going to keep spending money. Imagine that. Yeah, I look around at all things, and like, on, you know, I watch some YouTube videos and stuff, and it is funny to watch. Yes, we're changing gears. We're changing gear. I watch videos on YouTube. I don't put content up on YouTube. Don't be looking. You know, if I am somewhere floating around on YouTube, somebody else put that. I don't post content on YouTube. So if YouTube, you don't need to look to ban me. But I do. I watch videos, mostly things that interest me. You know, and you know, YouTube does this whole feed thing, and you can look from this feed who they promote. Who they push and who they're pushing forward, you know, and they're promoting who's okay. And you get all these weird things. Cause I mean, sometimes what they push is kind of reflective of what I'm looking at. And again, my YouTube stuff is more or less non-political. It's just stuff I'm interested in. You know, I get recommendations on anime music, you know, on J-pop and K-pop stuff. Cause I watch some of that sometimes, you know, and among other things, but it's mostly non-political. But once in a while, I'll see something that's like, you know, it'll be political and I'll check it out. And they flood my recommendations. They flood my recommendations with stuff, and you can tell who they promote and who they don't. And once in a while, I'll check these things out. And such happened yesterday evening. I was checking to see if there's anything up there on YouTube that I might be interested in. There wasn't. But I happened to scroll through to see what they're pushing. They had some guy I never heard of. And he was recommended in my feed. And the title of his video was something, I'm doing this off the top of my head. The title of video was something like, you know, what's wrong with young people today? You know, we're going to say the one thing that nobody else is going to come out and say. And I thought, I know. I'm thinking to myself, you got a picture of me sitting there. I'm sitting here doing the face right now. Y'all can't see it. I should do videos because we would have fun with that. Then again, I have a face made for radio. So I don't know. Anyway. And I couldn't resist. I'm sitting there and I'm preparing myself mentally because I'm thinking, I know this is going to be normie tier cringe stuff. Okay. But I'm going to step into, I'm going to see what this guy's got to say. I'm going to see. So I step off into this video. I didn't make it very far through the video. I'm going to tell you, I did not watch the whole video. So this guy. And this guy got a bunch of subs. He's obviously being promoted by YouTube. He got like just shy of 1 million subscribers. So he's making bank. You know, he'd make a pretty good bank, I assume, on the YouTube. But anyway, you know, we got all these shootings. There's a boy talking about you. We got these shootings going on. What's wrong with young people today? What's wrong with young people today? He says, well, it's time to say what's got to be said. I'm going to say it. Everybody else afraid to say it. See, somebody that wasn't a veteran like myself would be like, this guy's fixing to drop something right here. And see, I'm a veteran. I've been doing this. I'm like, you don't get shy of 1 million subs on YouTube and promoted, and you fixing to drop something heavy. Let's see what this normie tier take is. And I laughed. I laughed. And I ain't going to lie. I wound up going to bed last night. and I was laying there just still, like, it made my eyes bleed. It was so bad. I'm just laying there in bed thinking, if this guy really believes this, then he is disconnected from reality. Are there really people this disconnected from reality? Or does he think he's being edgy? You know? I've gotten to the point, because, you know, I used to do, like, edgy, to be edgy things, you know? We've all kind of done that before. Social media encourages that. I'm way beyond being edgy for the sake of edginess. I just care about truth. That's all I'm interested in. I ain't got time for all that. But you wonder, this guy think he's being edgy or something. Anyway, back to the point. Nobody cares that I'm laying awake at night thinking about trivial things. This is unfortunately part of the torture of being me. He said, problem today is, you know, kids go around getting participation trophies. It's like, hello? Hello? Yeah, hey, 1990s, are you still looking for your hot takes on things? Because I think I found them. Says the problem with young people today is they just don't know. What's going on with all these shooters? What's causing all of this? What's wrong with young people today is they just don't know how to deal with disappointment. That's the problem. He says their parents, the schools, teachers, all of them, they're going around building these kids' self-esteem up all the time. They give them participation trophies. And then when they don't get their way, they don't know how to deal with disappointment. This guy. This is funny to me because this guy's younger than I am. I'm still in my mid-50s. I'll be in my late 50s before we know it, but I'm in my mid-50s. This guy, I don't know how old this guy is. Judging from looking at him, I'd say late 30s, maybe around, I'm going to say roughly around 40 years old. So I'm considerably older on this guy. How the hell do you get that out of touch with where young people are today? You know, I'm in my mid-50s, and I'm a whole lot more tuned in with what young people are doing today than what this guy is. Just from reading stuff on the internet and listening to people. It reminded me of, like, you know, like a high school football coach who thinks the answer to everything is kids need to do more sports. You know, like, doesn't matter what the problem is, if these kids were out playing football on the gridiron, it'd solve all these problems. I don't know if these people actually believe this tripe they put out, or if they just think this is the tripe they got to put out to get close to a million subs on YouTube. I don't know. I don't care. We're just taking things at face value. I have hammer. Everything is a nail. Everything. The problem is, people today don't know how to deal. They just have their self-esteem pumped up. How do you have no clue what young people today? How do you have that little of a clue of what young people are dealing with today? Okay? Let's just be specific. Because you can apply this, by and large, to young people in general, but we're going to apply it specifically to young white men. Young white, teenagers on up. And you think they're having their self-esteem pumped up? These young people coming up today, as particularly young white males, they spend their entire life in school, the school, the teachers. They're telling them that everything is wrong with the world is because of them and white supremacy. And their existing is promoting white supremacy. And that's why we don't have utopia on the earth, because basically they exist. Now, aside from killing themselves, the one thing they could maybe do to atone for that is to become a tranny. Because we know that's being promoted in the school. I didn't watch any of this other guy's videos. He's probably got videos out there tirading about teaching kids to be trannies in school. But then he turns around the next breath and talks about these kids just don't know how to disappointment. I don't see how young people come up today, any young people of any race or gender, come up today without anything but disappointment. Do any of the young people coming up today are sitting there going, man, I'm going to get my life on track and I'm going to have a better life than my parents did? No, none of them do. Disappointment. Life ain't nothing but disappointment for young people today. What are they looking forward to? Young white men today, teenagers and up, they live in a society that says everybody should be having sex all the time. And the society is also saying, but you're not having any sex. The only way you're going to have any pleasurable sex is to become a tranny. Then you can have sex. Don't deal with disappointment. Participation trophies, that's the problem. How about, I don't know, yeah, one of the things I point to on trying to understand this, and once again, it goes back to this whole thing of, we don't know because nobody's interested in doing a study. I suspect these, if they did do a study, it would heavily implicate the pharmaceutical industry. So we're not going to have that. Look, I'm old enough. When they started pumping parents, I told you I'm going to get them rolled. I stayed awake last night. Now y'all going to get it. The parents keep bringing these kids up and pumping up their parents. Mostly coming up with a single mom. And guess what? She couldn't deal with a little boy, so she found a doctor to say he has ADD so she could put him on Ritalin and all this other crap. Crap that I remember 20 some odd years ago, other doctors and scientists going, we have no idea what this is going to do to these kids long term. But we're doing it anyway. Write those scripts. Why are people like this today? Why we got people going off the deep end? Well, aside from the fact that you have to keep in the realm of possibility that they're being groomed to do this by certain entities in the government, but we don't go there because we don't have no proof for that, so we're not even got to step in there. We're trying to keep things real. What we do know, and what we do know is the kids that 20 years ago, all these single moms were running, and you know, just like now, they're all running and turning them into trannies and getting them on puberty blockers. And that back then, they were running and putting their 5-year-old on medication because mama couldn't deal with it. She couldn't deal with a rambunctious little boy. She wanted him to act like a little girl. Seems to be a common theme amongst single moms, but nevertheless, now guess what? The roosters are coming home. The chickens are coming home to roost. The roosters are coming home to roost. That didn't sound right. Chickens are coming home to roost. We got these medicated kids that they said at the time. I saw scientists and doctors say we don't know what this is going to do to their development long term, but that doesn't matter. We're going to write the prescriptions anyway because mama's got to go out and party this weekend. Try to find boyfriend number 17. Got to have a good time. Can't be tying her down. It's like a leg drawn out after post-birth abortion. They're just dragging it out. But these young people, they've been sticking them on medication their whole life while telling them they're worthless. And, you know, on medication, they had no idea what it was going to do to their brain development. And now we're wondering, why do we got these crazy people that go out and do shootings? Maybe we should study, except it might implicate the pharmaceutical companies. Why are they so quick to dismiss the idea that vaccines could be linked to autism? Ain't done no studies on it because they're not going to do any studies on it. If they did do a study, it would be funded by the pharmaceutical companies and the outcome would already be decided before you ever got the result. It's just, young people just too pumped up. They think too much of themselves. You know, young people got no hope for the future. They ain't. Young people coming up, they ain't got no hope. Yeah, someday, son, you're going to have a wife and family while you're working with your wages at McDonald's or some shit. Yeah. You're going to get a place of your own. Hey, man. Yeah. Hey, you know, maybe you'll, don't worry, someday you'll inherit your grandparents' place. Oh, wait, no, they did one of those reverse mortgages so that when they die, the bank inherits their property. But hey, they can go ahead and buy another new Corvette and go on another cruise. Because your boomer grandparents are off having a good time spending the grandkids' inheritance. They just don't know how to deal with this. Look, folks, you can't deal with problems if you can't identify what's, if you're misidentifying things. You know, you can't deal with a problem. We got to get to the truth. The truth is always the answer. You can't even start to scratch it. You off here talking about people think. And like I said, I don't know. This was really bad. I felt like my eyes were bleeding because it was such a bad take. And I didn't watch the whole thing. I couldn't. I got to that point and I just stopped. Young people just don't know how to deal with disappointment. their lives are nothing but disappointment. I think the problem is maybe young people have no hope. We've purged the society of the Lord, of Jesus Christ. We've purged the society of you're living for something greater. We've purged the society of any sense of community. We've basically told people their value is in not having any value at all. In the name of equality, everybody's got to be at the same bottom level. It's never about bringing other people up. Yeah, people just think too much of themselves. I don't know. You know, I'm highly to a fault. I do. I believe this. Contrary to what liars say, I am empathetic to the point of it almost being a fault. I am. I want to know how other people view things. I do. I want to know where other people are coming from. Even if I disagree with that, I'm always interested in what other people, you know, where they're coming from and how they view the world. But I can't always understand it. So I'm like this. I don't understand how anybody's that detached from reality. I don't understand how I'm in my mid-50s and I understand better, more empathetic and understanding where young people are coming from than somebody that's obviously much younger than I am. I don't know how that disconnect gets that disconnected. They have no hope for a better future. They've been medicated their entire lives. They're on an insane, when they're born, the moment they're born, they put on an insane vaccine schedule. By the way, on the vaccine thing, just to understand, in Europe, they don't follow the American schedule. They spread these vaccines out over like 2 years. It's only in the U.S. that like the baby's born and they did like a newborn infant and they back this huge syringe and give them like all the vaccines at once. I've read where like European doctors, this is years ago, where European doctors looked at the American vaccine schedule and they're like, yeah, no, that's crazy. Infants can't tolerate that much put into them at one time. We can't talk about it. That might hurt the profit line of Pfizer or Moderna. You know, they pump these kids full of vaccines as soon as they're born. As soon as the little boy is big enough to rambunctious and run around, and mama puts him on medication to make him easier to deal with because it's more convenient for her. And more than likely, daddy ain't around. They come up through the schools being told, because of white supremacy and you simply existing, if you're a white male, the only way you're going to atone for that is become a tranny. And if you're a white female, the only way you can atone for that is having sex with the blacks. This is what's promoted. Good idea. I mean, come on. Is anybody listening to this and going, oh, there you go, there you go. You're just promoting crazy ideas and hatred. I'm promoting, this is what's promoted. This is what's promoted as a society. Young people coming up thinking, I'm going to start a family and build a life of my own. Out of what? There are no good jobs anymore. They're just veering us into the gig economy, which is a joke. But the jobs that are, you know, are nothing jobs with no real future, even though they try to rename them careers, you know. Join your career, our career, get your career kicked off. You see the signs? Get your career kicked off working at our fast food restaurant. Yeah, fast lane to the future. They try to dress it up like fool people, like you got a career. No, you got a nowhere dead end job. That's what you got to look forward to. It's like people making fun, you know. These young people today just living with their mom and dad. That's because they can't afford. You see what rents run? You know, shit tier apartment's going to cost you $1,500 a month. Yeah, I. There's a whole lot of stuff going on while we got crazy people now. We used to not have them. I can tell you, I was there. I was here. I'm here to tell you. I've come from the past to tell you, no, you used to not be like that. Something changed. Nobody's going to study and find out what changed. They have no interest in that, which should be a clue to you that something's going on. Yeah. It's the problem. I can tell you what the problem ain't. The problem ain't that young people just, you know, don't know how to deal with disappointment. This isn't it. When people go off the rails and go do this crazy stuff, it ain't because, you know, they're throwing a temper tantrum. This is a sign of people. It's a sign of a society that has no hope. We got, I'm going to wind up running long today. We got to get into the Christian specific segment. We'll keep on rocking. You don't want to miss this. We always have fun in that. If you're new, don't turn it off now. You've come this far. Come this far. You get in here. You know, tell what you're going to hear. But regardless, y'all know what to do. This is that time. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. Now, we're going to start off this week rocking in the Old Testament in 1 Kings. We're going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter 2. I'm not going to actually read it. We're just going to kind of summarize. I encourage you always to go ahead and read it. If I sat here and read it, we have to summarize, because if I sat here and read it, it's quite a bit to read. And we kind of want to get to the point. But we're focusing on 1 Kings chapter 2. Now, Solomon has just come to power. He's just attained the throne. And leading up to this, and these succession stories, I'm a fan of, I watch historical Korean dramas. And it's funny because I read the Old Testament and you read how things were, you know, when the king stabilized and established his kingdom, you know, and things would be stable. But then whenever the king passed and the throne went to his son, went to the next guy, there's always this time of turmoil because people were jockeying for power. Now, David is getting old. And in chapter one, leading up to this, David is getting old. And he had planned, he had already, you know, had established, the Lord had moved him to put Solomon on the throne. But one of Solomon's older brothers, because David is now really, really old, and one of Solomon's older brothers had decided he was going to be king, and he got backing and all of this. Long story short, obviously we wound up with Solomon on the throne. David was informed of this, and he still was of sound enough mind. He went ahead and established Solomon on the throne. So the older brother, Solomon's older brother, didn't get to go to the throne. And that was it for now. Now, Solomon has just ascended the throne. He's trying to stabilize his kingdom, his rule. And like I say, whenever this happened in those times, there's always people looking to jockey for power. Because if they could get another sibling in there, they could get an older sibling, whatever, in on the throne, then they themselves could attain a certain amount of power. The reason I was looking at 1 Kings chapter 2 is because we're going to talk a little bit about an incident that happened and the way Solomon handled it. Now, when somebody reads this, if somebody just reads this story, it sounds like Solomon went like way over the top. Like this guy really, really overreacted. Like so much of the Old Testament, because people are so removed from those times and such, they just don't understand. You know, they judge. You see this all the time when you talk about any sort of history or try to. So one of the reasons they rewrite history and they're so successful at it is because anytime you actually talk about history, people try to superimpose modern quote unquote morality, which is the most obscene anti-morality, that has ever existed, but they tried to superimpose their modern quote unquote morality onto these other times. And that's one of the things that makes the Old Testament so hard for people to digest, because they say, oh my gosh, why would he do that? Why would God do that? Why would God tell them to go in here and kill everybody in the city? That's a war crime. Unless you're doing it for the democracy, then it's not a war crime, but nevertheless. So, what has happened? Like I say, Solomon has ascended the throne. Now, the older brother that originally, you know, kind of was setting himself up and thought he was going to be the next king, he goes to Solomon's mother. He goes to Solomon's mama and he says, hey, and you know, I wanted to ask a request of you. And she says, okay, go ahead. And he says, I ask that you'll give me this certain maiden to be my wife, to ask the king for me if I can take this woman to be my wife. Because in those times, that had to be approved. You couldn't just grab any woman and make her your wife. You had to go through the king because you're part of the royal family. And she says, okay, no problem. So Solomon is in his throne room and everything, and his mama comes in there, and he obviously thinks a whole lot of his mama. And he has a seat set next to him on his right hand. And she comes and sits there on his right hand. And she says, I got a request for you. And she says, don't deny it, please. And he's like, don't, no problem. I know you're my mama. I ain't going to tell you no. And she says, it's a small request. And he says, okay. And she says, please allow your older brother to take this certain woman to be your wife. And Solomon's response is that surely this day, because of this, I'm going to have him put to death. I'm going to have my older brother put to death because of this. If you're going to have you, what you came and you asked for him to take this woman to be to wife, why don't you just ask to give him the whole kingdom? And he orders him to be executed. Again, people read through the Old Testament and you read through this and you say, well, that was an over-the-top reaction. Insecure much? You don't... His reaction to this, like I say, might seem over-the-top as you read it, but you don't understand. And that's what we're going to focus on is why... Actually, this was a very appropriate response. And just as, if not more importantly, why it's relevant to you. You're not just doing a history lesson about King Solomon today. I always strive when we have these discussions to talk about things that are going to matter to you that might help, you know, one of you out or all of us out as we think about these things. So his reaction to this, you see, what Solomon was doing, because the reason that this wasn't about the older brother wanting to take this woman to wife. If it was, the older brother could have approached the king himself or waited till the right time when things settled down a little bit to approach the king himself and say, look, you know, I know I kind of ran out ahead of myself, thought I was going to be king, but you're the king now. I got no problem. You got my backing. You know, no problems. We cool, right? Can I go ahead and take this woman to be wife? That could have happened. You see, the problem was the way in which his brother went about it. And this gets to understanding these power struggles that would happen when the throne had a new man sitting on it. What they were doing, what his brother was doing, and no doubt those that were backing him were doing here, is they were seeing if they would be able to manipulate Solomon and basically through his mama. Manipulate Solomon through his mama and exercise power and get him to do what they wanted him to do. This had nothing to do with the woman that, you know, him just wanting to take some maiden to wife. That's a non-issue. They were testing the waters. See, when somebody wants to test the waters, they start off with something that's not too over the top. You know, if they would have made a really obscene request of, you know, wanting, you know, grant me half the kingdom, well, that would have been pretty obvious. If they had asked his mama, tell my brother to make me, I don't know, a head minister over the army, well, that would have been pretty obvious. See, when people are testing the waters, you see this today. You know, the government tests the waters. They set these trial balloons out and see how people react. He's testing waters. When you test the waters, when people test the waters, they try to use something kind of little. Because, you know, if you see through what they're doing, you know, well, it's a small matter. You get your toe in the door. You see, you don't want to come on too strong. They want you to look at it and go, well, this isn't that big a deal. This isn't back a deal. That's why they chose this issue. Go ask him if I can take this woman to wife. It's not a big deal. I mean, if he says no, you know, he'll seem kind of unreasonable and petty, but it won't be the end of the world. We'll find out. And, you know, I mean, how mad can he get over just asking if I could take this woman to wife? It's a seemingly very small issue. This is how subversion works. This is why the church got subverted, because people didn't have the wisdom of Solomon. Leaders in the church over the years past, generations past, did not have the wisdom. They did not possess the wisdom of Solomon to see through the ruse. Doesn't seem like a big deal. We talked about it last week. All of these agendas, last week, they, they were pushing, I saw an article where they were pushing gay marriage in Japan. And they do the sympathetic story with some woman. And it's like, I've been together with the same person. And what if they're in the hospital? You know, see, that sounds reasonable. Oh, my gosh, they've been together. They're not living a, it's a way out their lifestyle. They're just like you and me. They always pick a story like that. And they just want to be able to see their loved one in the hospital. That seems reasonable. And here we are today. We're doing child trannies. It's the way the church got subverted. They didn't have the wisdom of Solomon. They didn't see that people started coming to them with these small things. And it's like, well, it's not a big deal. We just let it go. But it becomes a big deal. What they were doing is testing the waters. Let's see if we can manipulate the new king. He doesn't know what's going on. We'll see if we can manipulate the king through his mom. Everybody knows he really loves his mom. He's kind of mama's boy. And I bet you if we can get his mama on board and we get his mama to make these requests, then, we'll still have some power and control. We can move ourselves up, maybe even take the throne someday. In those days, only a few people could even dream of taking the throne, but there's always an army of people looking to make the king their puppet. So they used this seemingly irrelevant, just inconsequential issue to test the waters. And Solomon saw right through it. And he says, surely as the Lord liveth, today he's going to die. And he followed through. He sent somebody out there and killed him. One thing for sure, nobody bothered asking his mama for nothing after that. Nobody bothered going to his mama to see if maybe she can get the king to do what we want. Nobody tried that again. See, what he did is he nipped it in the bud. He saw what they were doing. He nipped it in the bud. Nobody ever approached his mama again to try to manipulate the king. They knew that wasn't going to work. He's going to see right through that. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, isn't it kind of over the top? He killed his brother. Over that, though, couldn't he have made it a point some other way? Isn't that a little too violent? Is that a little too brutal? When you let things get out of hand, then to correct them, it takes more in that situation. It would have taken him more violence had he let it go. And then, of course, inevitably, the next thing would have been a little more. Then the next thing would have been a little more and a little more. And then by the time the problem was so huge that if he went to correct it then, there would be massive bloodshed. By killing his brother right off the bat, nipping it in the bud, he actually saved who knows how many lives. They could have wound up fighting a civil war before it was all over. So he actually saved a lot of lives. Now, I said earlier that somehow this was relevant, besides just being an interesting story of history, and it is interesting. I did say earlier that this was somehow going to be relevant. Relevant to you, relevant in your life. Of course, we already pointed out that we have the MCC today because people leading the church over the years past failed to see through. They failed to nip things in the bud, and now, we have what we have. But now, it is relevant to you. If we look in the New Testament, one of the passages that Jesus said in the New Testament that for a long time in my life didn't really make sense, or I should say the way I understood it was like the way that most people understood it, which is, of course, to not understand it at all. It took me many, many years to understand what Jesus was saying. Jesus said, it is said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say, if you look upon a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery in your heart. I misunderstood this for many, many years in my life before I finally came. The Lord gave me understanding to understand it. Before I finally came to understand it. It wasn't just, I hold you to a higher standard, because that's the way I always read it and misunderstood it. Like Jesus is saying, I'm holding you to an even higher standard. You're just as guilty of the adultery if you think about a woman lustfully as if you actually went and committed the deed. It's always dangerous to misunderstand these things. No, it is. It's just staying with that same example, because the devil will come to you and say, you know, if you know, saying, for example, that situation, devil will come to you and say, well, you've already, you know, you've already looked at her lustfully. If you're going to face the same punishment anyway, might as well go after it. And if you apply that to all sins, then Katie barred the door, because our hearts and our minds are always inclined towards sin. It's just part of living in this fallen world, and part of the struggle with our own sinful natures, with our enemy, our own sinful natures. It's how a lot of people read that. It's how I kind of understood that, or misunderstood it, as it were, for many years. But finally, I came to understand that passage, and this is another way we can relate this to what we've just been talking about King Solomon. What Jesus was saying was, you got to nip your sin in the bud. You have got, I'm going to say it again, you've got to nip it in the bud, just as King Solomon nipped it in the bud. What Jesus says is, a man doesn't wake up one day and go next door and commit adultery with his neighbor's wife while he's out of town. I mean, somebody just wake up one day and decide to do that. It starts somewhere. It starts with looking over there at her and going, you know, I've never really thought about it, but, you know, Jolene next door, she looked pretty good. You know, I think old Bob over there, he's doing pretty all right for himself. Yeah. And then the next day, you're looking a little harder over there, and you're like, every time I see her, I just think, man. That's where it starts. It starts with entertaining the thought. It seems harmless. I mean, you're not planning to go over there and you know, knock the boots with Jolene. I don't think anybody even says that anymore. I'm showing my age. You're not planning to go over there, but you're just thinking about it. You think about it a lot. But see, then one day, Bob's out of town and Jolene, you happen to run into and y'all get talking, you know, and she said, you're so funny. And you know, Bob's out of town, but you know, if you want, you know, when nobody sees you, come over, we could have coffee or something, you know, and talk, cause you know, just to talk. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, this ain't the way I should be going. But you go over there anyway. And then she's like, you know, you want to come in here and see my bed? Now you committed adultery. Why? Because you didn't nip it in the bud. You see, when Jolene's stripping off and showing you the goods you've been thinking about in your mind for a while, that ain't the time now that you're going to resist sin. That ain't the time that you're going to struggle and go, no, woo, Lord Jesus. No, because you've done committed the sin in your heart. It's too late now. You ain't going to be doing like Joseph and running out naked while this harlot's holding on to your clothes and get back in here and do it to me. Ain't the time. No, because you've already planted the idea in your own mind. You've been thinking about this a long time. You ain't going to say no now. You see, the time to fight that battle was back there the first time you're looking over there, and that thought comes into your mind. You know, she's looking good. You need to put that out and say, no. I'm going to start this. See? The more you entertain that, the stronger it gets. So he got to nip it in the bud. So he said, if Solomon hadn't nipped that in the bud, it was going to be a whole big struggle down the road, and he understood that. If he let that get started, if he let the seemingly meaningless issue go by. It seems like a trivial issue. We don't need to make a big deal out of it. We'll just go ahead and let them do that. Just go ahead and do what mama says. Then they're going to say, see, okay. Okay, see, we can get to him with his mama. We can establish. Like I say, always people looking to make the king their puppet. He nipped it in the bud. That's what Jesus was saying. He said, you got to nip your sin in the bud. Don't sit there. This is basic Sun Tzu, you know. Yes, I have tied it. We've done Old Testament, King Solomon, Jesus Christ, and we're going to throw Sun Tzu in there. The Art of War. And one of those Art of War things is, you know, which isn't really that breathtaking, but makes sense. You always fight your enemy when you are strong and they are weak. Fight them where you are strong and they are weak. Don't refuse to fight them where they're strong and you're weak. You apply that to fighting your own sinful nature, to staying out of sin, to staying out of trouble. You want to make those struggles. You want to fight those sins when you're strong and your sinful nature is weak. With Jolene next door is just your sinful nature going, man, look at that. It's fairly weak. You still have the upper hand. You just got done with your prayers 30 minutes before in the morning. You're feeling pretty strong in the spirit. Now's the time to fight that and say, no, hold up. We ain't going to start that. And then down the road when Jolene says, you know, Bob's out of town. Would you like to come over for coffee? And you're going to be like, thank you for the offer. I got to go trade, you know, I got a deal going on some donkeys or something. I got some place to be and it damn sure ain't in your house. Okay, too bad though. Come by sometime. yeah, sure. So you don't put yourself in that position. You know, putting yourself in that position. If you wait around and let your sinful nature get strong on something like that, you ain't gonna. Like I said, you've been thinking about for 6 months. You've been thinking about how good it hit that, how good it'd feel to hit that, and now you got the opportunity, and you lying to yourself. You're like, well, she just invited me over for a drink. I mean, ain't nothing. She don't mean nothing, you know. And I can always leave, you know. If something crazy going on here, and she actually gonna let me hit that, I can leave. I'm totally not going over here to do that. I'm just going over here, you know. Because I heard Bob put some new carpet in, and I kind of want to check that out because, you know, I might put some new carpet in my room or something. You're lying to yourself. And you're going to wind up, you're going to engage the enemy where the enemy is strong, and you're weak. You're going to lose. You got to nip it in the butt. You got to get in the habit of trying to keep your mind on the spiritual things. You can't do it all the time. Look, we got things we got to do, and you know, you can't walk around being pious all the time, but we got to do our best. The more we set our minds and our hearts on the spiritual things, more that will become second nature. You know, more that will become second nature, and the easier it will become. And it's going to be easier for you if you nip this stuff in the bud. It is, I'm telling you. Satan's always going to try to convince you to fight where he's strong and you're weak. The enemy's always going to try to convince you that. Well, it don't count. You ain't really resisted the sin because you ain't took a good look at it. Get over here and get closer to it. Get over here and really consider it. Get over here right on the precipice of doing it. And then if you walk away, that counts. Then you really, if you just run away from it way back there, you haven't really decided. You haven't really considered the options. You need to get in really close to the sin and then make that decision. Otherwise, it don't count. It's a liar. He's simply wanting you to fight him, or he's wanting you to fight the enemy where he's strong and you're weak. Take King Solomon's example. Nip it in the bud. If you don't consider it, you don't let yourself consider it. Push that out of your mind. I'm not saying deny something that's there. Look at it head on and say, no. I'm not going to do this because, and we're not going to get this started. You know, look, she may come around and invite me to come over sometime. We're going to, you know what? I'm weak. I might decide to do it. I've done, you know, the thought went into my mind that looks pretty good. I can't undo that. I'm now aware of it. And I'm also aware of the fact that if the situation come around and she invited me to come over there and then one thing led to another, I'm weak. I might go ahead and hit that. Even though I know I don't want to in my spiritual nature and I know what's wrong. You know what? I'm going to make sure I don't get into a position to do that. You know, it's as simple as somebody giving advice, like if you're on drugs and you're getting off drugs, one of the first things they're going to tell you to do is quit hanging out with your old druggy friends. Because if you're hanging around with druggy friends, it's going to be a whole lot harder to say, no, I ain't going to shoot up today. Then, you know, you got to quit doing it. You got to get away from that. You get up close to it, it's just going to be more of a temptation. What Jesus was telling us, with the line about If you look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery in your heart. He was pointing to what he's saying. When it comes to your sin, do like King Solomon did in this instance. You need to nip it in the bud. You're going to have a whole lot. You're going to have a whole lot easier time. Don't get on that deep and then think you're going to resist. You're setting yourself up for failure. And you'll get into that pattern and you'll set yourself up for failure, like thinking you've got to get really close and really considerate and really just saturate your mind thinking about this sin. And then maybe if you decide not to do it, then it counts. Like it somehow doesn't count if you nip it in the bud. And that's silly. It's nonsensical. You want to fight the enemy, your own sinful nature. Is it when I say, when the Bible talks about the enemy, when we talk about the enemy, fighting the enemy, look, you ain't so important. Devil's like paying personal attention to you. He might, but probably not. Talk about the enemy. More than 99% of the time, what you're talking about is your own sinful nature, which is like the nature of Satan that's basically dwelling within you, which is what you struggle against with your spiritual nature. And one of the two is going to wind up dominating. You know, that's what we're talking about. And you're talking about there's this external enemy. You got a demon hanging off your shoulder. I hope you don't. You got a demon, though, that's going around trying to prod you in doing stuff. Because you get that mindset. You get that mindset, like when it comes to your struggle against sin, like it's this external force, you know, and you're like, man, I'm struggling against this, but it's tough. It seems easier to think of it as this external thing that you're struggling against. But it's not. You're not. More times than not, there's not some demon trying to drag you around. Satan is sitting there like making you his pet project. It's your own sinful nature. That's the enemy. Nature of Satan, basically, in your flesh. It's that thing that you're struggling against. And you yourself, you're going to choose through life, through your choices, through your decisions, you're going to choose to nurture one nature or the other, the spiritual nature or the sinful nature. One or the other. And the accumulation of those choices, you will grow that nature. You know, the sinful nature isn't going to leave you till you leave this world. It's always going to be around somewhere because that's just part of like the curse of being in this flesh, you know, the curse of the fallen world. But whichever one you nurture, that, you know, that's what you're pursuing. But anyway, it's going to be easier if you're going to nip that in the bud. I just thought, I hope we got something. I just thought it was interesting, that story. And you, like I say, you can tie it to what Jesus was saying. And they too, I think it's not a stretch to see how the two are related. And ultimately it is. It's going to make your life better. It's going to make the way you progress against sin. I do believe it makes the way we progress against sin better if we continue to fight those battles when we're stronger, not when we're weaker. To stay as far away from it. Don't put yourself in situations and then think you're going to tackle it. That's what the enemy wants. You want to deal with these things before they get big. You definitely want to deal with them by nipping them in the bud. We're going to go ahead and get on out of there. Thank you for joining us this week. I hope you got something out of the show. I always enjoy these discussions. Every intention to be back here next week. I make no promises towards sound quality. We'll see how things have gone. I'm recording this on Saturday. We'll see how things have gone. We'll see how things go. I do plan to be here, so bear with us, and hopefully I'll see you here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.